Thank you for joining me for Glorious Living. Get ready to study the Word of God with us as we prepare to celebrate the resurrection of our wonderful Savior. Welcome to Studio C at Jesse Duplantis Ministries. I'm Kathy Duplantis, and for 50 years now, Jesse and I have dedicated our lives to reaching people and changing lives one soul at a time through every available voice. And it's always a blessing to have Chrissy Cifuentes with me on the broadcast.
Yes,
on the podcast.
On the podcast. That's right.
Yeah, we call it a show, but web show, but it's really a podcast.
It really is a podcast. And so many people are watching from all over the world. We love you. And this is such a special time to study the Word together.
Oh, yeah.
As we prepare for Jesus' resurrection.
Hallelujah. We love celebrating the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead.
Yeah.
Because he was raised from the dead, it changes our whole life.
Amen.
If he wouldn't have went to the cross, we would have had to suffer and die and live for eternity away apart from God and in hell, really.
Yeah, that's terrible to think
about.
Yeah,
we don't want that.
We don't want
everybody to go to heaven. This is why we share the good news. That's really the gospel.
It is the
good news that Jesus came, died, and rose from the dead, and that's what Easter is all about.
I love it so much. It's not just about the chocolate eggs, even though I do enjoy that as well. But I have a great, glorious story to share. People are watching, like I mentioned, from all over the world, getting transformed by the glorious gospel through Jesse Duplantis Ministries. And this is one I collected from YouTube. And if you're watching from YouTube, hey, how you doing? It says, thank you, Jesse and Kathy, for how you make the Word of God simple and easy to understand. I love your teachings on how to practice the fruits of the Spirit and what spiritual maturity looks like. You're always showing others God's love to us. And that's so true because we feel so loved here at Jesse Duplantis Ministries. And we want that to go through the screens, wherever you're watching, a tablet, a phone, a computer, wherever it is. We want you to feel that perfect love that comes from our Father.
Yeah, and I believe that's going to happen today as we study the Word of God, because we'll see how what Jesus has done, you know, what he did in the life of his friends. And it's a great study we're going to do today.
But just
to say, before we begin, just thank you so much to our wonderful partners that have helped us over these 50 years to reach people, change lives one soul at a time. So many of you have been reached through the television broadcast, maybe a meeting that Jesse and I were in, or just maybe through books or products.
Yes.
It's wonderful that all these different voices do something, and God has called us to go into all the world, preach the gospel, and that's what we've been doing. And that's why I'm so thankful for every partner. And if you're not a partner, you can become one. We always put the information on the screen so that you would know how to give. We try to make as many options available to make it easy for you. So go ahead and do that if the Lord leads you to do that. And those of you that are partners, thank you so much. Together, we're reaching people. I like to say it again and again.
Yes.
Changing lives one soul at a time.
One soul at a time. It's so exciting.
Yeah, and you know, this Easter, we got to make sure that you know that if you have a whole local church or a home church, you make sure you're in church on Easter Sunday and bring someone with you. If you don't have a church and you're in the New Orleans area, we want you to come to enjoy Easter Sunday with Jesse and at Covenant Church.
It's going to be
and
great.
And me, I'll be there, of course.
Oh, I love it
and
so
then
much.
We have a photo wall. We've been passing these flyers out around our neighborhood.
Yes, we have.
And telling people
I love it.
About
I'm so excited about this because it's a great time at Covenant Church to gather with your family and friends. And you mentioned this on Sunday, Pastor Kathy. You talked about how it's so important for people to invite their friends and family to come experience. Because a lot of people, they don't get that invitation, but we can be that light of the glorious gospel to tell our family, our friends, our community, come on out for Easter. I love it.
Right.
That's how you say it in New Orleans. It's Easter
Coming
Sunday.
Up for Easter. That's a metri accent.
It's metri. Yeah, I love it.
But we want you to come on out. And if you can't come out and you're watching from a distance, please join us online because we'll be broadcasting that. And I know that you'll be blessed.
So fun. Yes, ma'am.
Well, on this week's Glorious Living, Chrissy and I want you to join us as we study one of Jesse's teachings from an Easter service at Covenant Church on April the 20th, 2003. It's also featured, you know, we have it on the app, but it's also featured in this April issue of our Covenant magazine, Voice of the Covenant, and it's titled Dead Men Walking, Live Men Rising. Why don't you show them the magazine,
Chrissy? I love it. What a beautiful, beautiful magazine we have here featuring Brother Jesse with his heaven tour.
Oh, that's coming up.
And on the back, of course, we have Resurrection Sunday. And in it, it fills so many awesome articles. But I love this one we're talking about. This title is awesome. Dead Man Walking, Live Man Rising. That's great.
Yeah, it's a great, great teaching. And, you know, he preached it, but it was put in article form, and we're going to study it today.
I love it. I love it.
But the Easter holiday represents a whole lot more than candy and chocolate, rabbits. Even though we like that kind of stuff a lot.
Yeah, we do.
You know, it's a holiday that's founded on the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Think about that for a moment. Rising from the dead is a serious miracle. You don't sure see too much of that happening today, but most of us think about raising the dead and just flinch. Why? Because our faith isn't up for it. But Jesus was full of faith and power, and he had no problem with raising the dead at all,
That's
Chrissy.
That's awesome, it is. And you know, Brother Jesse writes that not long ago he began to think about this, and he wondered how Jesus could be so sure that he would rise again. He wondered how Jesus could be so certain that he'd be able to come out of his tomb. Think about that. Nobody ever laid hands on Jesus. Nobody ever prayed over him and commanded life back into his body. He was as dead as a doornail, wrapped in the traditional way of burial, lying in a big tomb with a huge stone rolled over the door, and yet he came out of that grave.
That's
and I
so
love
true.
When we sing that, come out of that grave.
I know
it's
it.
So
That's something
fun.
To be happy about.
It is. It's amazing to think about that. And then nobody laid hands on Jesus.
Uh-uh.
He just did it himself.
Yeah. But the more Jesse thought in this article, he talks about this, the more he thought about faith in him, about Jesus' faith in himself to be raised, the more he started to realize something pretty simple. Mm-hmm. Before Jesus ever raised himself from the dead, yes. he did a little practicing first.
Yeah, that's right. He sure did.
He did. You know, he raised dead people long before he was ever condemned to the cross. Remember the widow's son in Luke 7? Yeah. Practice. And remember Jairus' daughter in Luke 8,
mm-hmm.
Chrissy?
Yep.
Practice.
Practice makes perfect.
And maybe Jesus thought, if I can't get them out, I can get me out.
That's right.
If I can get them out, I can get me out. Maybe he thought that. Jesse writes that he can't prove that that's what Jesus was thinking, but you can't prove that he didn't.
That's right, you know. And his brother Jesse considered this. It dawned on him that Jesus never seemed to doubt that he would come out of that grave. Even that big stone rolled in front of the tomb didn't seem to be a problem. Why? Brother Jesse believes that he is because Jesus had faith in himself and in his Father.
That's
he knew
it.
That he was more than able to be raised from the dead without any human help or intervention. And that's the power the Lord at work and the power of the great big God we serve. And he's just so awesome to know that that same resurrection power that lives in us is available today for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so good. It gets me all stirred up because it really matters to study this. It's
mm-hmm.
so important that we recognize that that same Jesus is alive and well today and he's coming again.
I love this.
So good stuff.
We're going to look at Luke chapter 11. If you have a Bible, please turn along with that. We're going to read this pretty much all of this story here and there. We're going to break it up, the scriptures, because it's one of my favorite stories,
so
and Jesse tells it so well.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when he first started preaching 50 years ago, his very first sermon, Chrissy, was on Lazarus.
Wow.
And you know, we don't have that message today. They didn't record messages back then. And at that little small church we were at. But I remember he gave an illustration of a mummy and how Lazarus, when he came out, he was pulling the rags off of him like a mummy.
Yeah.
And he talked about how, you know, every time you pulled out a rag, it pulled off this sin or that sin.
Wow.
It was such a great illustration. God just anointed him from the beginning. And the whole congregation was cracking up with laughter.
Uh-huh.
And he was upset. He said, Kathy, this was a serious message. What are they laughing about? I said, Jesse, you were funny.
Yeah.
But that joy of the Lord that
was on
him, it just was so real and so natural that it really impacted people there in the church that day. And I'll never forget it.
I love it.
I really wish I had that on tape.
I wish too. Maybe he can preach a little bit of it again. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Well, he preached that whole part about the mummy. Yeah, I'm gonna have to talk to him about
that. I'll tell you what, I think that
he doesn't always like suggestions. At least not from me.
I know, but doesn't he turn it around sometimes and it comes from him?
Yeah,
so you never know.
All of a sudden it was his idea.
Exactly. But I love the fact that he taught on that, and the joy of the Lord is what came out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And that same joy of the Lord is available today too for you.
So it's so good.
It's so good to mention that. It's always
and that's
there.
What this ministry really is known for. He's been called the Apostle of Joy by Brother John Hagee.
That's right.
And I always told him when I met him, that's one of the things I liked about him.
Mm-hmm.
He had that little natural smile that the ends of his lips just kind of curled up.
Oh,
and
it was
always a pleasant kind of, even before he knew the Lord. So God created him for the joy.
And it's for the joy.
And we pray that you're enjoying that. In fact, God, it reminds me of a series of messages that people give to friends that maybe aren't ready for the gospel, but they're ready for a little bit of joy.
Yes.
And because he's a great storyteller and so anointed for that. And so there's the Merry Heart series, which is also
fun.
In the app. And we also have those products. But when we made those available, it started just really changing a lot of people. In fact, people that own companies would just have it for their staff. They'd have staff meetings and they play it.
We had love that.
Testimonies about that.
Yeah.
They'd play the Mary Hart series and then they'd give them a pep talk or whatever, give them a motivational thing, teach them about things in the company. So God uses it.
It's healing. It's so good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so check that out on the app too, or you can get your own copy at jdm.org. I love those messages.
I love that. Well, in Luke chapter 11, we'll see that Jesus had some wonderful friends named Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And these people loved Jesus and totally enjoyed his ministry. They were siblings and they did all that they could to help Jesus get his message out. They supported his work financially, gave him a nice room to rest in when he came in town to preach, and prayed for his ministry too. And Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were not only his partners, they were also his very close friends. Mm-hmm. And when Lazarus got sick, it was Martha who sent the word to Jesus to come and lay hands on her brother. But Jesus didn't do what Martha wanted him to do. The Bible says that he stayed two more days in the place where he was before he left for Martha's house in Judea. And when Jesus decided to go, his disciples warned him that he'd be stoned if he went back to Judea. But Jesus was not defeated.
Wow.
Amen. He was not deterred. So, Chrissy, why don't you read that scripture for us in, I think it's John chapter 11, beginning in verse 11. We're going to read down to verse 15. And this is the King James Version of the Bible that Chrissy's going to be reading.
Yes, I love it. It says, "These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead."
Wow, yeah. That's pretty strong, Chrissy.
It is. He said it.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's like right in your face, my friend is dead. See, Jesus was a direct man. Yeah. And then in the next verse, he told the disciples something that seems kind of strange. Yeah. He says, "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him."
Yeah, and why would Jesus say that? That he was glad that he wasn't there? You know, Brother Jesse writes that it's because a greater miracle was going to happen because of it. The disciples were going to start really believing, and to Jesus, that was a greater miracle than healing Lazarus's sick body. Can you even think of a greater miracle than someone walking out of a tomb? But that matters to Jesus.
Yeah, because Lazarus actually was raised from the dead, but he wasn't resurrected in the way that Jesus was when he rose up out of the tomb. Because Jesus rose up and he had eternal life. Mm-hmm. He went back to the state that he was with his Father
before
he came to the earth.
That's right.
But Lazarus was going to die again. So even though you're healed, or maybe even if people have been raised from the dead in this life, but they died again.
Exactly.
And so this is a whole nother thing. Miracles are wonderful, but the new birth is what is so much more important.
That's awesome.
And so this is why he wanted his disciples to believe.
That's right.
It was not just about getting what you need from God. Maybe it's a healing. Maybe you need finances. Maybe you need some relationships brought back together. God is concerned about our eternal life.
Amen.
And so we need to believe in him as our Savior, not just fixer.
That's right.
And people look to him just to fix this problem or fix that problem. And he loves to do that. He came to do that. But more importantly, he wants to heal our hearts and help us, let us be born again.
That's
this is why he says it's better that he wanted them to believe in him as the resurrection and the life, and we're going to see this.
Amen. I love that so much, especially at this time of the year when it should be a perfect time. It's always a perfect time, but you know, getting born again on Easter Sunday.
Wouldn't that be the best thing?
It's amazing. Just knowing that you have that new life, you've obtained that great gift of salvation. So what a wonderful thing to see your family getting saved on Easter. We're praying and agreeing with you to see
Amen.
That happen. Oh, yes.
Well, you know, the story that we're studying in the Gospel of John 11, it's a lot more than about Lazarus. Even though Christ loves Lazarus very much, it was about Christ bringing glory to God and teaching his disciples a lesson as well. Mm-hmm. And Jesus wanted his followers to recognize that God could do anything. He wanted them to know that his power was beyond merely healing the sick. It was also about raising the dead. Christ wanted the disciples to see this type of amazing miracle practiced on others so that they could believe in an even greater miracle, the resurrection of Jesus
Amen.
Himself.
Amen.
Now, this next verse is the part of the story of Lazarus that Jesse loves. and thinks that is often overlooked. Chrissy, why don't you read
that? I would love to read it. It says, "Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him." You know, we always think of Thomas as doubting Thomas. Yeah. That's because he had a moment of weakness after Christ died and rose from the dead. Although Thomas witnessed the resurrection of Lazarus, he wanted to touch Christ's wound before he believed that he was risen. Yeah. And how many times do we find ourselves doubting all the time? Mm-hmm. And so you can even look at this and say, Thomas, he followed Jesus. He still doubted. Uh-huh. But that's one of those things that we fight against in the flesh.
And you just can't let anybody pigeon-toe you, if you want to use that word. You know that old word?
Yeah, pigeon-toe
put you into a box, and this is how you are because maybe one failure, one mistake. Jesus looks at our whole entire life.
Amen.
He sees our beginning and our middle and our future.
That's right.
And he wants to give us all a great future. So it's a shame that people, this is why this part of the story always comes out with Jesse, because Thomas at that point, he wasn't a doubter in his entire life.
Yeah.
Thomas was a man of faith.
That's
Think about it. The rest of the disciples were warning Jesus that he might be stoned to death if he returned to Judea. But Thomas basically said, man, if he's going to die, we're going to go die with him. In other words, he said, I'm with you, Jesus.
Amen.
Don't you love when people say, I'm with you?
That's right. No, it's so comforting to know when we say that. I'm with you, Jesus.
Yeah, and that's what Thomas was saying that day. Thomas demonstrated fearless faith when the other disciples wanted to run the other way.
Come on.
Now, let's continue reading in the chapter, Chrissy.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I love this. It says, "Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee." Man, Martha had some serious faith. She believed in Jesus.
She did.
I
love it. She demonstrated great faith there. But when Martha heard Jesus was coming, she ran to meet him. And the first words that came out of her mouth were words of faith. That's verse 21 that Chrissy just read. Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died.
Yeah, that's using your faith voice, isn't it?
It truly
Martha
is.
Used her faith voice.
Her faith voice was in the healing for her brother.
Yes.
In other words, she believed that Jesus had the ability to heal the sick, but maybe not the ability to raise the dead. You see, there are a lot of different levels of faith. Some people have the faith to heal the sick, but there aren't too many that have the faith to raise the
dead.
That's
right.
Then you could see Martha's thinking shift into a greater faith in verse 22. She said, read it, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee.
That's amazing. I love that. Now she was doing good. But why did Martha think that God could do anything Christ asked? Maybe because she heard Jesus say so. Mm-hmm. How many times have you said that? Are you as sure as Jesus was that God answered prayer? Think about it. You see, Martha knew that prayer wasn't a gamble with Christ, but a real assurance. Mm-hmm. She was assured in it. And we can learn from Martha. You know, sometimes Martha gets a bad rap in the other story.
Martha. She was cleaning the kitchen, upset that the sister was at the foot of
but
Jesus.
But now it's tables have turned.
Flip.
Martha's the one going, Jesus, where are you? And Mary's the one just sitting in the house. But so she does. She gets a bad rap. But how many times? We can read this and learn from Martha. What a woman of faith.
Oh, really? That's
and,
so
I mean,
true.
It's so great to read this and to recognize that no matter what's dead in your life, whatever the case is if it's a marriage or a relationship or your finances, anything that looks impossible, that's been dead so long, Jesus can resurrect it in a moment.
I love this. And the fact that Jesus waited 2 days before going just shows that he had a plan and he wanted to teach them.
Yes.
He used this as a teaching moment to teach his closest friends
Amen.
The wonderful power that was available to them. You know, and so Martha was growing and she knew, she could see that prayer wasn't a gamble with Christ.
Yeah.
She was assured that he could have saved her brother from dying.
Yeah, that's right.
But this is a different situation. He had already died.
Amen.
And here she is connecting with him. So that's how you can tell that when you're growing in the fullness of the stature
Amen.
Of Christ.
That's
it's when
right.
you move from seeing God as a gamble to having
Amen.
Complete assurance in his ability and his will to perform his word.
Yeah.
You're growing in faith when you move from I'm believing to I know.
Yeah, fully persuaded.
I love that.
It so much. Ooh, this is getting me all stirred up, Miss Kathy.
Yeah, and then the next verse, we read how Jesus responded to Martha with five simple words of faith.
Amen.
And in John 11, verse 23, it says, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again.
Praise God.
Now, you think that Martha would have been hopeful of these words, but instead, Martha flinched. Remember, raising the dead was not a common occurrence. So when Jesus said this, Martha's religious mindset mm-hmm. kicked in, and she immediately put a limit on God.
Wow.
This verse in 24 says, Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day.
Come on.
Isn't that something?
It's so awesome.
Do you see what happened? Martha shifted from faith to religion because what Jesus said was extreme. Now, remember, the first thing she told Jesus was that if he'd been there earlier, he could have healed mm-hmm. her brother. Then her faith kicked up a notch, and she said she knew that even at that moment, yeah. the Father would do whatever Jesus asked. Mm-hmm. But when confronted with a radical miracle, she shifted back into limiting God's power by saying she knew her brother would rise at the end of time when everyone else is resurrected. So, you know, our religious mindset sometimes tries to take over with the revelation of God's
yes.
word that he's trying to give to us.
That's
and that's
right.
what happened to Martha that day.
Yeah.
It's a mind shift.
It really, and it happens to all of us. And so what was going on with Martha? She was wavering because what Christ was saying was not normal, even in the realm of faith. It was extreme, it was radical, and it was hard to believe. Mm-hmm. Even if it was coming out of the mouth of the Son of God, she believed that Jesus could heal her brother, but raising her brother from the dead was just too much. And mm-hmm. that just makes me think of some of the circumstances we have in this life. And people say, oh, that's too much. But it reminds me of that book that Brother Jesse wrote, God is not enough. He's too much. More than enough, God.
That's so true. And this is a perfect example
yeah.
of how people couldn't really grab hold of it mm-hmm. in the natural because they kept shifting back to old way of thinking. But Jesus was bringing them to a higher place.
Amen.
Note, Christ didn't flinch, even in the face of Martha's doubts. And so we're going to read John 11, verse 25. It says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Amen.
You see, Martha expected a future resurrection, but Jesus surprised her with a present resurrection of himself. Now, Jesse says that he could preach on the words, on Christ's two words, I am
yes.
forever.
He can. And we've done Faith the Facts on that, and they're only 5 minutes, but he's like, let's keep going because it's just so rich, just those two words.
Yeah, because Jesus didn't flinch because he knew who he was, and he knew that the God that he served,
Amen.
The all-great I am. So Christ didn't say, I believe I am. Mm-hmm. He didn't say, I think I am. He said, I am the
Ooh,
resurrection.
That's so good.
And notice that there's a comma after the word resurrection. In other words, pause and think about that. And the next part of the sentence is, and the life.
Amen.
And there's a colon after the word life. So when you see that colon, you should pause and think about that for a little while longer. Why? Because Jesus is the resurrection power. Jesus is the life.
Ooh, it's
I love
so,
that.
It makes me so excited. I'm enjoying this.
Yeah,
it's so fun,
great.
So good.
Yeah, and then the next verse, Chrissy, it's just so packed with revelation. The next verse in John 11, verse 26, Jesus says, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
Amen.
I love that.
Shall never die.
See, Jesus
die.
Wanted Martha to know that the power was present. And if she wanted to draw from it, she needed to believe.
Amen.
So he posed a simple but profound question to Martha in the last part of verse 26. Jesus asked Martha, believest thou this? Believest thou this? I love this because Jesus wanted to know if Martha believed that he was the resurrection and the life.
Amen. And I believe he's asking us that too.
I know.
He wants
it's
us to.
It's a timeless question.
It is.
And it was presented to Martha at that first time, but today it's being presented to us.
That's
it's presented,
so
being presented to you.
That's so good. I love it. I want to go ahead and read John 11, 27 and 28. It says, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so said, she went her way. So she confirmed it, and mm-hmm. she got to tell Jesus. How beautiful is that? They were friends. We say we're friends of God, we're friends with Jesus, but she was walking with him, eating with him,
mm-hmm.
basically a family member. Mm-hmm. How amazing is
very
that?
Close.
Very, very close.
So
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
But there's a rule of faith that if you don't believe, it's not going to happen for you. Because Christ already has the faith to believe in himself, and
yes.
he knows that he can do because of the very power of creation that is within him.
Amen.
So it's your faith added to his power that brings about miracles.
Ooh,
but
good.
Just like Jesus asked Martha in John 11, 26, you must also ask yourself, believest thou this?
Amen.
That's a King James Version, but do you believe this?
Yeah.
It's what we would say today. It's what you believe that's going to make a difference. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Mm-hmm. And if he said it, you can believe it. So get to the point that you know it, and when you pray for something, you are assured.
Amen.
And if you do that, you will rise up out of your situation. You will see the goodness of the Lord at work in your life because Jesus is the power, and the power is always present. And that's the miracle of the resurrection for you and me. It's the same power that created the heavens and the earth. It's the same power that raised the widow's son Jairus' daughter, and Lazarus from the deadness of their physical
Amen.
Bodies. And it's that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, and it really does dwell in you.
Ooh, this is getting me all stirred up. I love that. And those times he raised those from the dead, that was just practice.
Yeah. I love the way Jesse brings that out in the article. It's such a precious thing. And the impact of that, it was not just practice. It was showing the people of that day that this was the Son of God
Amen.
Walking on the earth. And because he created the earth, of course he has power over everything in the earth.
That's so awesome. And Martha knew that, which mm-hmm. is so exciting to look at. You know, Martha's creed was to consider her brother's rising on resurrection day. But Brother Jesse likes to say this, creeds are good for the memory, but Christ is good for the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Christ wanted to change the situation and use Lazarus's death to display the glory of God. After Martha's conversation with Christ, she immediately went home and she told her sister Mary and told her to go see Jesus. And then Mary went straight away. But when she saw Jesus, she fell down at his feet crying through the very same words that Martha had spoken. And that's in John 11:32, which says, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. So Mary had to do the same thing. She had to walk it out and go mm-hmm. straight to Jesus. It wasn't enough that Martha went and told Mary. She needed to go face him face
that's
to face
so true.
As well.
And you know, the sadness of all of it touched Jesus's heart. And John 11:33-35 shows us this. It says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And verse 35 says, Jesus wept.
Wow. Yeah.
See, Jesus was a man of like passions as we are. It hurt him to see her their pain.
Yeah.
And it troubled Jesus enough to groan in the spirit and weep publicly.
Amen.
Chrissy, why don't you continue reading in our teaching here,
yes.
verse 36
yes.
through 39.
It says, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone.
Yes, he did.
Wow, it's amazing to see Jesus's humanity in that moment, that he felt so deeply and he wept, but then he got down to business. It was like he wept a little and then he's like, all right, take the stone away, move
yeah.
it out the way. It's
that's
so good.
Right. That stone represents trouble. And in life, just like it always seems that there's a big stone standing
right.
in the way of a miracle. Remember, man will always put a stone in your
yeah.
way, but God will always roll it away.
Amen.
People will try to shut you up and shut you down, but God will roll that thing away and let you breathe fresh air. See, Christ commanded the stone to be rolled away. And Jesse writes that the rest of verse 39 is the part that he loves.
That's so good.
And so let's read the rest of verse 39 right here today. It says, Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days.
My gosh.
Martha was concerned with the stench.
Yes, she sure was.
Not about her brother all of a sudden.
That's
hey,
so true.
Hold on,
hey,
what are you doing?
It's going to really
Let's
be bad.
Let's think this thing through again.
So, so
it was so funny. So it's amazing when how you ask God for something, but all of a sudden he tries to do it his way. You say, oh no, God, do it this way.
Exactly.
You're going about it wrong. She wants to correct the master.
That's so funny.
It's amazing.
I love it. And you know, Brother Jesse writes it so funny. He says, well, if you think Lazarus stunk to high heaven, you should have smelled me, which I think is just so awesome that he said that. He said,
I
was dead 24 and a half years before I came to know Christ. Did you think I stunk? You better know it. My soul reeked. But Christ approached me And as we all know from the Bible, no one ever died in the presence of Christ, and no one remained dead when he approached them. When Christ approached me, I was sitting on the edge of a bed in a hotel room, just killing time before I was going to play a rock show. Kathy had the TV turned on to Billy Graham, Evangelistic Crusades, and it was Labor Day weekend in 1974, and I had long chocolate brown hair. Don't you love when he says it like
brown.
That?
Kind of like your color.
Yeah, chocolate brown. It's fitting that we read this.
It was almost your late,
yeah,
too.
Wow, that's long. And he says, but as I sat on the bed watching that television, Jesus began to approach me. And when he did, my deadness became more and more apparent. Mm. When I released myself into God's hands and said, Lord, I don't know if you're real or not, but if you are, come into my life. Something happened. Mm-hmm. I rose up. I became a new creature in Christ. Glory. It was my resurrection day. And although I'd been living without God for 24 and a half years and my soul stunk of the deadness of this world, Jesus took me, washed me in his blood, and made me clean. Glory to God. What a testimony.
I love that. And the testimony is in the magazine, which we just read the excerpt from, which is so powerful. Such a powerful teaching in that lesson, but also gives his personal story because time has nothing to do with it.
Oh, so good.
When it comes to your spirit, you can be dead nearly all your life.
Yeah.
And on your last breath, you can ask Christ to come into your heart and you will rise up.
Come on.
And when it comes to the physical body, always remember that God started with dust when he made Adam, and he can handle dust.
He can handle, pardon my dust, as you like to say, Pastor Kathy.
And in Lazarus' case, Jesus knew that Martha's worries were just that, worries. Mm-hmm. 4 days of being in the grave is nothing when you're talking about the power of the living God.
Ooh, this is
that
so
day,
good.
Lazarus, was time to come up.
Yes, it was.
Chrissy, continue reading. We got a little bit more to go.
Know.
I hope you're going to stay with us. We're going a little longer than normal, but this is so rich.
Stick with it, because this is the best part right here. It says, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then he took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus did. He came forth, and he was a symbol to everyone that the power of God rested upon the life of Jesus Christ, the power to heal, to deliver, to cast out demons, and to raise the dead. And that's the power that Christ promised the disciples that they would walk in after his death. And boy, did they do it. And that's why we're here right now.
That's right. You know, to be risen from spiritual death, however, it's the greatest miracle because it goes beyond the mortal body. It frees a person to forever be with God, even after physical death. But you know that you can be raised from the dead spiritually, yet still be bound. You can be saved by the power of Christ, yet still be bound by the tight trappings of life. Mm-hmm. And that's where the church comes in. You see, Lazarus did come forth. Life rushed back into his body, and he physically rose from the dead.
Jesus.
Glory to God. But look what Jesus commanded the people around him to do. Chrissy, read John 11, verse 44.
I love it. And said, and he said that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Mm-hmm. So who did Jesus tell to loose Lazarus so that he could go? Them, the people who were present.
That's so true. And it's a responsibility of the church, the people of God who witness spiritual resurrection, to loose those who get saved by the power of God so that they can go.
Amen.
God wants his kids to fly like eagles, but we can't do it if we're bound by the grave clothes of our old life.
That's awesome.
It's time for the people of God to say, wait a minute. Churches are not designed by God to put ropes and chains on people. God is not into legalism.
Amen.
He said that whom the Son has set free is free indeed.
Ooh, it's some good stuff. Yeah, I'm enjoying this.
Oh, good.
I know we're going
a
little longer, but it's just so rich and so amazing because we need this study, you know? And Brother Jesse always puts it such good way. He wrote, it's my responsibility as a preacher to preach the message of loosing and letting go. That's why I live for Jesus daily, not just on Easter Sunday. And it's a lifestyle of loosing and letting go. The only Jesus some people may ever see is the Jesus in you or the Jesus in me. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth. And Christ has saved us. He's raised us up from our deadness and giving us a new life spiritually. And you know, we're in this together. Mm-hmm. That's what I love. I love that we are in this together, and it's His great pleasure to give us this life and let us enjoy it. But it's also His command that we help others to get out of the tangles of this life. Glory to God. He can do the work, but He wants our help. That's what Christ was trying to show the disciples that day, and that's what He wants us to do today as well.
I love this. It's so good.
Amen.
And we're going to conclude our study by turning to John chapter 12. This is our last
Amen.
Verse for today. I hope that you're enjoying this. Let us know
so
in the comments.
Good.
Make sure you share this with someone, because others need to hear this great teaching
they
as
sure
well.
They sure do, especially at this time. It's mm-hmm. so needed.
And in the article, Jesse writes, he says, "But let me warn you, even if you were raised by God from the deadness of a life without Him, mm-hmm. other people will try to put you back in the grave again. Mm-hmm. They will try to wrap you up and put you out. And just look what happened to Lazarus."
Amen.
Chrissy, read John chapter 12, verse 10 and 11.
Awesome. It says, "But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus."
Yeah, they basically said, and I'm paraphrasing it, "We're going to have to kill him." Mm-hmm. Why? Because they didn't like the reputation that the miracle
wow.
of raising Lazarus from the dead brought to Jesus. You see, it's all about Christ. When people want to drag you down, it's because they don't want the
yeah,
life of Christ
right.
to be seen. They may not realize that they're being used by the devil to do that. They'd rather you be dead in God's ways because it's more comfortable for them.
Wow.
But that's not what Christ has designed for you. So don't let them put you back in the grave.
Yeah, no. And it's so sad to think that some people may feel the need to crush your faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
Let them say what they will, but don't let them rob you. How
mm-hmm.
true is that?
I know. We need to recognize that whether they know it or not, they're being influenced by the devil to rob you of your life,
mm-hmm.
to put you down while you're rising
so
up.
Good.
Don't let them stomp out your faith in God. Christ's words and actions let us know this simple truth. God can do anything
Amen.
If we will give Him our lives and only believe. And Chris and I hope that you've enjoyed this study and that it's strengthened you. But before we go, we want to pray with you.
Amen.
Father, we just
yes,
thank
Lord.
You for everybody that's been studying along with us. Lord, and if they don't even know you, Lord, reveal yourself to them. Lord, they would pray that they would repent of their sins and ask you into their hearts so that this Easter Sunday they can live a different way. They can rise to a new level and understand your word and understand that they also have eternal life.
Amen.
And Lord, if they've been bound by tradition or religion and they've been hindered, Lord, let them be free today through the power of your word, that they can know that they can live a glorious life, live for you every single day. Bless them today in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen and amen. Was this not awesome,
I loved
Pastor
it.
Kathy?
It was so good.
It's so good to think and reflect on the goodness of God in this beautiful Holy Week
yes.
as we prepare for Easter
at Sunday.
Covenant Church. If you can be here, we want to see you here. If not, watch live. We will be live too. It's going to
yes.
be great. But you got to come in the house.
Yes,
if you can.
It's always better that way.
Yeah.
If you have a local church, please be there. Bring family and friends and you spend that time celebrating the goodness of God, knowing that because Jesus rose, we're going to rise as well and live forever with Him. So God bless you. I hope that you'll be back in glorious Studio C with
C.
us again. We
it's
love
so
studying
fun.
The Word of
oh,
God.
Oh, it's so fun. I know that a lot of people say they feel like they're on the other side of the table with us. And so you are our friends.
Yes, you are. We
love you
so
yeah.
much. Let us know where you're watching from and be sure and be here for Chrissy and I. We'll be back again next week. So God bless you. Have a great week.